This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by Liquid Web. Save 33% off VPS hosting with code VPS33OFF. Phone.com, get 20% off for 6 months using code MMA20. Tech for Less, get huge discounts on the world's top brands. Save 5% off with code MMANUTS at techforless.com. Glasses USA, get 55% off first purchase plus free shipping with code MMA55. Defense Soap, used by more champions in more countries than any other brand. Save 15% off with code MMANUTS. Hey fans, this is MMA Nuts, episode 328.
328!
My name is Inga Michael.
Matt Gruitt, that was a show by our fans, for our fans. Walk line between serious and ridiculous. You awake?
Barely. I might be sleeping by the time this is over. It's late. I'm tired. My body's shutting down on me.
Big day of ice skating.
Yes. Son had his 8th birthday. Woohoo. Still can't believe he's 8. It's crazy. You know, you got girls ahead of that.
Yeah.
Every year he gets older and I keep looking at him like, damn, you're starting to look like a little man. That's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's cool though because he had a lot of fun. He's never done that before, but he's, you know, all about let's go back. I said, yeah, we'll go back. I didn't realize that was going to be a thing, but let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it because it's been a long time since I've skated, and I used to play hockey, and like, wow, like this was fun. Why did I stop doing this?
There
I
had no go.
Idea. So, yeah. But
so you got that, and then we just watched the UFC event.
Yes.
And I'm drinking coffee because that's how I like to do it.
At midnight, 11:20.
Yep. Yeah. So, which fight, we only want to talk about two. Let's start with the Johnny Hendricks, Hector Lombard.
Yes.
What'd you think?
Well, I mean, Hector looked a lot bigger than Johnny. He looked way more in shape. Johnny came in very softish compared to what we've seen him before.
And would you say Brian Stand was comparing his reach to like a T-Rex or something?
Yes. Shortest reach in the division.
In the middleweight division?
Yes. So, you know, I don't know that I agree with the 30-27s times two in his favor. I would say he lost the first round. The second round was a question mark, and he won the third. But I don't know. I guess maybe I wasn't.
We were paying attention. It was close. I mean, I said the first round's probably a draw because if I can't pick who, it seemed like Hendricks.
The Lombard, yeah.
Hendricks had the knees working.
Yeah.
They're both kind of ducking down, so I was wanting to see more uppercuts, knees. I think the biggest thing for Hendricks that won him the fight is just his mobility.
Moving around.
And ability to stuff takedowns, too.
Yeah. Lombard got him down, what, two times?
Yeah, and then Johnny kind of popped right back up. And then there was that other time where he kind of went out the back door.
Yeah, right underneath.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Lombard just had nothing. Lombard just kind of standing right in front of him and trying to just throw and seemed super cautious.
Yeah, that third round evades him cardio-wise every time.
Yeah.
You know, he was fading in the second, and then as he got to the third, it's like he just standing straight up, very stiff.
Yeah.
Are you getting up?
No.
I'm just like, I gotta
adjusting.
Go. I'm like, uh-oh, what happened?
You gotta go take a dump.
Yeah.
That's in the next one.
But Johnny said he felt like he had more energy at this weight, and he felt better, and he's talking about something about his vision being better.
He said he was going blind, like he couldn't see. Why, if you can't fucking see, why are you cutting to 170? Why is anybody cutting weight anymore?
Because they have to.
Why? They don't have to do shit.
Not anymore. But
nobody has to cut weight.
Uh-uh.
Just everyone move up a division. You're still, and he's still cutting. I think that he said he was 196 going into this weight cut. So, okay. You know, 10, 11 pounds.
Yeah.
Manageable, but come on.
It's a big boy. Eating a lot of cheeseburgers.
Yeah. So before we wrote this or watched this fight, I just wrote down winner and loser, who's going to get what. So based on this fight, I think Johnny Hendricks should fight Anderson Silva next.
Did they do that already?
No.
No, but I like that.
Because they're right there then. If Hendricks was 10 at welterweight, and now I don't know where he's going to get ranked at middleweight, but seems like a decent matchup.
I like the way you're thinking, man. I'm all for this. I think Anderson will be interested in this fight, I think.
Yeah. Former welterweight champion. Uh-huh. Might as well do it if he doesn't get GSP. And then the loser, so Hector Lombard can fight Uriah Hall.
Okay.
Move right along.
I like
Let's talk about the main event. Derek Lewis versus Travis Brown. Black Beast! Black Beast! There you go! He's unstoppable!
Yeah.
The man's got a heart! The size of Texas! He's fighting Nova Scotia.
It's a long way from home. It ain't Kansas anymore or Texas.
Or something.
Yeah.
I'm sweating.
Are you?
Yeah, the coffee. I'm all dialed in.
Did you have some of this gum?
Maybe no, not yet.
Okay. You want some?
No, thanks. Gum with like caffeine and taurine.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it.
I was impressed by the, what would you call it? The
lack of Edmund Tavarian in Travis Brown's corner.
You brought that up before the fight. I forgot all about that. He's just not noticeable anyways. But
and then they don't go to the corner. Like,
no.
This is the most important time to hear what the corner is going to say at Travis Brown's side. Because you're not going to hear it. You're looking great. More of the same, champ. Beautiful. Head movement. Head movement. They go to Brown. Or they go to Lewis.
Well, I thought he was doing quite well, Travis Brown, for a little while with the leg kicks and mixing it up.
Yeah,
staying
kicks
mobile.
To the body, and it seemed to, we couldn't tell, was Lewis really injured? He's holding his gut.
Apparently he had to take a shit. I mean, which is weird. I don't know.
So every blow to the midsection causes the man who's going to need to take a shit.
I suppose. So, I mean, it was working, and then it stopped working, and
yeah, I think you said it right. Like, he won the first round.
Yep.
And then the second round, somehow he got out of kicking range and ended up in boxing range. And Lewis decides to just start throwing sledgehammers Brown against the cage, gets him down on the ground, lands two or three more. I feel it was an early stoppage.
Okay.
I feel like he was going to come back.
Brian Stan would disagree with your opinion, Matt.
You thought that was a late stoppage. I say shenanigans, yeah. Mr. Stan.
They could have stopped that a little earlier. But, you know, it just seemed like Brown got overpowered, just out completely manhandled. In that, you know, and the strength difference was really noticeable. So, I don't know. I feel bad for Brown. He's had such a rough road. Seems like a good dude, but.
Yeah, he mixed up the training camp. He had Ray Cepho in his corner.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get to see him, like you said.
No, and he looked better, you know, at least the first round. It's just. Boxing range, not so good.
No. What do you think is going to happen with Travis Brown? I think he goes to Bellator.
Wouldn't be the worst thing for him. Mm-mm. Fedor is over there.
Yeah, everybody wants a piece of that
Fedor.
You want
a piece of the Fedor?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many fights he has left on the contract, but I would say the loser of the fight, it's Ben Rothwell. Winner, Francis Ngannou. That's a tough fight. I don't know if they want to do that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But at some point, everybody's going to have to fight. So the heavyweight division's so thin, everybody's going to have to fight at some point. Mm-hmm. We'll see. That was a really entertaining fight. I like the back and forth where it looks, for sure Travis Brown's going to win. And then Lewis, there's just no quit. Just no quit in that,
even
man.
Even when he's got a shit.
He just laid down after
he's
the fight.
He's too legit to shit, man.
It's awesome. I thought he was going to take a nap after the fight. Just,
I don't know.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just going to lay down here.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to mention, I like this Grisham character for the commentary, don't you?
I didn't notice him, which was a good thing, because without Rogan there before, I would always notice the backups, you know? And it's not that you don't want to notice him, but it's just they should kind of melt in, you know? And
yeah.
I thought he melts in, and he's really... well, he needs some work, but overall, his voice is pleasing to my ears.
Exactly.
Okay?
Annex is more scritchy, scratchy, where he's up here. No, I need a more mellow. Mm-hmm. It flows, and then Stan still irritates me with his. He's talking. What was his analogy this time? Oh, the guy's got a guitar collection. He had to fucking sell his guitars. Dude, I don't give a fuck about their personal life. Tell me what's happening in the fight. What should this guy be doing? What should he not be doing? God, he's got to pawn his shit to make money to be a fighter. That's the story of everybody right now. So, again.
No money in fighting, Matt.
Yeah. No, never. Move right along. Unless you have anything else for that UFC event?
No.
All right. Bellator 172.
Yes, sir.
Fedor versus Matt Mitrione.
I was going to watch this, but then something happened, and I decided not to watch the whole card.
Yes.
Can you fill us in?
Yes. So that fight gets scrapped, apparently. Matt Mitrione has issues a few hours before the event starts, and it turns out he's got some kidney stones. The doctors won't let him even take an aspirin, nothing. Wow. They won't let him fight either. We got a couple fighters willing to take a fight on short notice. Chael Sonnen was probably the most legitimate one because he was there commentating. Then Tito Ortiz said he would come out of retirement to fight. He was also in attendance, and obviously you don't want that one. But they said they didn't want to do it with Chael because they have other plans for him, and that would ruin whatever said plans they have.
Mm. Chael coming out of the booth. I'll see
I think they should have had a fight. You had all this build up for trying to build a massive event. You got to get someone in there. And it's not like if Fedor loses, like the fucking walls come crumbling down. It's not Elite XC no. or, you know, Akimbo Slice versus Seth Pritrzelli. The same shit is not going to happen. It's Fedor. You could still bang two or three more fights and you can easily explain a loss on short notice. But more than likely, whoever's going to step up is going to get smashed by Fedor. If it was Chael, probably going to get smashed.
Maybe.
Probably.
I don't
know. So. That they decided to reschedule that fight, probably looking like May for Mitrione versus Fedor.
Right.
And then Josh Koscheck lost in his Bellator debut, looking kind of old and slow, and he got hit in the eye. And I don't know if it's the same one he had damaged before. I think he had to have surgery, but you know, once you touch that eye, it's Wind City, and he got hit there again, lost. Chuck Congo got a boring win. And then Josh Thompson got KO'd by Patricky Pitbull. He's coming. He was going to shoot a takedown and got clipped with an uppercut.
Not cool.
That was about it. And just, I was looking at some of the records for UFC fighters that have gone over to Bellator right now. Mm-hmm. Just interesting. Some people are having success and others not. Benson Henderson, 1-2. Josh Koscheck, 0-1. Chael Sonnen, 0-1. Josh Thompson, 2-1. Phil Davis, 4-0. Tito Ortiz, 3-1 and out. And then Chuck Congo is 8-2. Then realize he had fucking 10 fights over there already.
That's crazy, yeah. You know? Has it been that long?
He's flying under the radar over there in Bellator, man.
Okay.
And 8-2, unfortunately, he's got 5 decision wins in that thing because he's doing this takedown, lay and pray shit.
Sure.
Making
that paper, Matt.
Not exciting for heavyweights.
Making that paper.
That's what it's about.
Yes.
Moving along. News. What do you got?
Well, I want to bring to your attention something that I thought was perhaps the news of the week, other than the news of the week, which we all know which what's going to happen in a second. But UFC and USADA making significant changes to anti-doping policy.
Okay.
And I feel like potentially this could have impact on the GSP situation.
They're scrapping the whole plan. Drug away! Loaded up! Pride! Bang, bang!
No.
Okay. Damn it.
All right. So speaking on the returning fighter, okay?
Okay.
If you're retired? The rules have been changed. So fighters who notify the UFC of their retirement or choose to take an extended leave of absence from the promotion would have to re-enter the drug testing pool for at least 6 months.
Oh, no longer four. So add two.
Yes, correct. Another major change is that affects the fighter is if a fighter was released and then is now rejoining the roster or new fighters joining the roster will be subject to 1 month of drug testing before being allowed to compete.
That's fair, because I think that's what happened to Angela Hill.
Yes, exactly. Which would it would allow that to happen so that it wouldn't be such a
clusterfuck.
Exactly. And then the other thing is where is it? There's one more here. Enter super. Oh, yeah. Somebody who's admitted or has verifiable history of use of a banned substance that is prohibited at all times will be subject to at least 6 months of drug testing before being allowed to compete. And then the USADA may also require those athletes to provide a minimum of 2 negative drug samples during that 6 month period before being allowed to compete. So if you've been busted before, 6 months clean, and you have to have at least 2 clean tests during that time. And then lastly, if you voluntarily disclose use of a prohibited substance prior to testing, and then the test that happens reveals that substance, like, you're okay.
But some of the people voluntarily tell them, hey, I took HGH, and then the test doesn't reveal it, but then they get suspended for like life or whatever.
Yes. The last thing is the Nate Diaz rule, which says basically that they have defined out-of-competition testing or in-competition testing for marijuana. So it's 12 noon the day before until the post-fight drug test. has been administered, because remember he was up smoking
and,
the CBD oil.
Should
and,
be totally fine.
And he got a slap on the wrist. Nothing happened, but he had already taken his drug test. So now it's like, all right, if you took a drug test, now you can get fucked up if you want. So have fun.
So it should be.
Right. So interesting. Some good, some bad. I like that they've extended the return, you know, because what happened with Brock? That's where I'm confused. It's kind of, he came back and then it was like, well, did he test? I don't know. Nobody saw any tests. We're not really clear. Well, he notified us like 7 months ago. So, okay, thanks. That's nice. Now it's a little more clear.
Yeah.
Still sounds like fuckery to me. It's all the money grab.
It needs to go away.
And your buddy Nowitzki is all part of this whole thing.
Yes, of course. Yes.
What do you got?
Well, if we're talking about Brock Lesnar, he just announced his retirement.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, is this just another way for him to skirt this drug test?
Mm-hmm.
To do the retirement so he's not being in the drug testing pool, and he can come back on a 4 to 6 month window or whatever it is, or maybe they'll do another special exemption for him?
Sure.
Do you think he's ever going to fight again in UFC?
I think he does. Oh, there was something else in here I forgot to mention. Yeah, there was some rule that if you're coming in to replace somebody via injury or something like that, then they can shrink it somehow.
Of course.
See? Yes. So that's in there. Good thing you brought that to light. So yes, I do believe he fights again, especially if the heavyweight title has a chance to let him get the title back. Like if there's some kind of a weird thing that happens where a guy that's maybe less skilled or whatever gets the belt, I think Brock fights that guy for the belt. They're going to do it one more time.
I think they have to. I mean, I'm going to kind of jump all over. GSP is back, right?
Yes, GSP!
Are you surprised that they say that?
I'm very surprised. I was on the camp of saying he would never come back. I think he should stay away. I think it's not a good plan for him.
Well, I think it's also coming down to pay-per-view buys. If you're losing your Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor is maybe a 50-50, who knows what's going on with him? Mm-hmm. Who's your next biggest star? Brock Lesnar, retired.
Mm-hmm. John Jones.
It's literally GSP. GSP is the next biggest star that has the potential to come back. Got to sign him. He's got to fight. You got to give that man whatever he wants. Do you want to wear Under Armour? Fine. We'll fucking find a way to make this work. It'll be Reebok, but we'll have a little Under Armour tag on it, too. So with him coming back, and there's some weird rumors, too, of... He might be fighting at 155 is what they're saying.
Whoa, really?
Which is ridiculous because I don't like any matchup really for him at 55. I don't know what makes sense. And say he comes back at 70 or 85, like, who do you think are good matchups? I got a couple in mind.
I think at 70 he has to get the immediate title shot.
So
what are you thinking? Awkward
times. Well, I'm just trying to play out this stupid Woodley Thompson match.
They're gonna draw again,
right? Like I don't know if I even want to see him fight either of those guys, because I also feel like neither of those guys is worthy of a GSP.
So interim belt. Who's he fighting for the interim belt?
Well,
that's a great Nick Diaz.
I like that matchup.
Yeah.
Why not? And Nick would probably like that too.
Well, of course. Lots of money.
I think that one probably makes the most sense because both guys have been out for how long? A shit long
couple
time.
Years. Yeah.
Or do you do the Anderson Silva fight finally? I don't know. I think I like the Nick Diaz one better.
Yeah. We haven't seen the Anderson Silva fight though.
Right.
That is a crazy fight to come back to after being. That's. Just,
but it also is probably a fairer fight too. With Anderson's a little slower. GSP's been out for so long. We obviously got to figure out what weight we're going to do it at. Maybe 180. Mm. You know, make him come down a little bit more.
Okay, so if they do that, I think that fight draws a lot of pay-per-views.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, that seems to be... But even at Nick Diaz, or if you're going to talk 155, what if you do Nate Diaz? And then that sets up the Nick Diaz rematch, depending upon if GSP beats Nate, then Big Brother's going to get pissed off. Like, motherfucker beat us both! Yeah. I'm fucking coming back! I ain't doing any press.
That's crazy.
I am showing up.
Or it sets up the Conor McGregor.
Right. The other wild card is, do you do GSP versus Bisping?
No.
Yeah, I agree.
It's horrible.
I just throw it out there. I think it's horseshit.
No.
Who wants to see that? I know Bisping's trying to lobby for that
of
fight.
Of course he wants that money.
He's like, I've never made $1 million payday. I need to make $1 million.
It's going to happen, dude. He's a champ. He gets champ money. Yeah. It's going to happen. Dude, GSP is like the new, Conor McGregor. Imagine if those two fight. Oh, my God.
So then where are we ranking the order? Are we doing Anderson Silva is the top fight for him? Nate Diaz?
I think Conor McGregor is the top
fight. Conor McGregor?
Yes. Can you imagine that?
Well, I don't like that from the stylistic matchup because I think GSP just takes him down all day, all night.
I don't know. But that's a big pay-per-view, Matt. That's great.
I don't know if that's bigger than Anderson Silva.
Maybe not.
I think GSP versus Anderson is probably number one as far as dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Two might be Connor. Three is Nick and or Nate. I like the Nate Diaz matchup to set up the rematch against Nick, though.
I like that, too.
There's a lot of shit going on. What else you got for news here?
Okay. So I was watching a interview with Hicks and Gracie, and he was talking about, and I know this is going to get you fired up, but I waited until the middle of the show. So he was saying that he doesn't like students who train at multiple schools. He feels that there's some disrespect there, and you're also taking what your instructor is giving you, and you're walking away with that knowledge. And it's almost like as a teacher, you're wasting your time on students who do that because they represent you and your particular style of the sport, and they shouldn't do that. So what do you think, Matt?
That's funny, Hickson. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but fuck off. Because what am I just going to train jiu-jitsu and not go train any striking, not going to go train any wrestling, not going to do any cardio, not going to go ride a bike?
I'm just going to train
Hicks and Gracie jiu-jitsu and hope that's going to carry me.
Well, what if you train Hicks and Gracie jiu-jitsu and, like, say, some other jiu-jitsu?
Tenth Planet or whoever. I think you should train multiple styles of jiu-jitsu. I don't think you should just be dictating one certain system or one certain style, because it seems like sometimes you need to get a different look. You can't just keep competing against the same guys in the same system. Mm-hmm. You need other looks. Maybe these guys over here are super good at leg locks, and I need to understand how this works. And maybe these guys have the rubber guard over at 10th Planet. Maybe I need to understand how that works so that when I see that shit in an actual fight, I know what to do.
Okay.
Versus just being blinded. And a perfect example would be the Hoyler Gracie versus Eddie Bravo.
Yeah, right.
Like the second time, Eddie was just toying with Hoyler, going, you have no idea what I'm doing because I'm so blinded to just my style.
Right.
So seeing that, I can say blasphemy to that point. I mean, I understand where he's coming from, the respect issue, but it also sounds to me like a dollar issue. Like, you're my student.
Right.
You're my student. I want those dollars.
Could be that, old school mentality.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with what you're saying. I feel like the art of martial arts is a journeyman's situation. I get that there's respect, but I think any teacher who tries to keep your window narrow is not allowing you to be the best you can be.
Right. So it's not, it's like the opposite of being a martial artist, trying to confine somebody.
Yes, correct. So I wonder where his motivation is. I didn't really get a sense of that whole monetization thing, but it might just be old school, like bravado, like this is our team.
Well, I think that's part of like the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah. If it's not Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, it's just bullshit.
Right. Yes. So it's interesting. I don't know what Comprito would have to say about this. I don't think he gives a shit.
No, you gotta expand your horizons. You don't want to be just dialed into one thing. What else is going on? So I watched the Hurt Business documentary because it's been on Netflix. I finally got some Netflix.
You got Netflix back? Awesome.
Yeah. Well, we got it was like a gift for Christmas. So we have 3 months for free.
Nice.
Then I'll cancel that shit yet again.
I love Netflix.
I hate the navigation. But it took me 4 days to try to make it through this movie. And then I still didn't watch the last 10 minutes because it's such dog shit. So I want to save everybody their time.
I was going to watch it. It's not worth it.
I wouldn't even. I watched over 4 days. I still don't know what the movie was about. I don't know where they were trying to go. They're like, trying to follow fighters. Sarah McMahon was in there. The Joker, I forgot his name. That's his nickname.
Okay.
Rashad Evans. I think that the goal or the moral of this documentary was just to say, being a fighter is hard.
We know
it's
that.
It's just hard.
Okay,
but where are you going with this movie? And John Jones was in there for parts of it, so just save your time. Move along. That's all I want to say about that. UFC 208 had the early projections for the pay-per-view in. Mm-hmm. It said about 200,000 pay-per-view buys there
you
go.
You were right.
A little concerned.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, like, what determines the pay-per-view buy rate? Is it just the main event? Because, or is it the whole card? And you look at the main event, you had Holly Holm versus Jermaine Durandamy. You had Anderson Silva versus Derek Brunson. You had Jacare versus Tim Boach. Glover Teixeira versus Jared Cannonier. And then Jim Miller versus Dustin Poirier.
Wow.
And all those together, I'm like, eh. I mean, looking at the card, we were like, eh, am I going to buy it? Do I want to buy it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But does it come down to just the main event? When the main event is bullshit, is that what's dictating a 200,000 buy rate here?
Yeah, I've thought about this before, like, where is the hardcore fan base? Like, what amount of dollars are we talking about? Or buys? Are we talking a couple hundred thousand is the hardcore fan base? And then the rest is just the hype surrounding all that stuff? So maybe that's the key. So, like, the hardcore fan base is the 150,000 people that buy every time.
Yeah.
And then you got 50,000, 60,000 that bought because of whatever, but they didn't hit that threshold, that tipping point of, like, that hype factor. McGregor, Brock Lesnar, whatever happens, where everybody's like, holy shit, I got to watch whatever this is, you know, because so-and-so is fighting. So I would say, yes, the main event is key, or the main event / co-main event, when they're doing their little ads and they're putting out these top two fights, it's got to be good or people don't buy it.
Or like you're saying, main event plus some heat. There's no heat in this fight.
No.
Like, when you talk about the press conferences, you have fucking Conor McGregor's hucking monster energy
yeah,
drinks
exactly.
at the Diaz camp. And like, oh, you got some heat. Or you're looking at, like, the Daniel Cormier and Jon Jones are getting
throwing
into a fight.
Down,
yeah. Or, you know,
Tony's going to kill him or
somebody's
something.
Somebody's doing something crazy. Yeah. Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen in a face-off. And yes. Anderson throws a shoulder. Oh, yes. And what's going on? There's some bad blood.
Yeah. It almost makes you think that maybe some of these guys know what they're doing.
Of course they do.
You
want to make $1 million? Because if you're getting a cut of that pay-per-view,
yeah.
you got to do some crazy shit.
That's right.
Why not? Let's do it. Just let's push it to that point.
I got a plan.
Where we might go to jail here. We might go to okay. jail, but it might be worth it.
That's right.
You got to find where that line is and slowly edge across it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see. That I think that's why it ties back to the GSP, though, mm-hmm. right? Because I think him alone just sells a pay-per-view. He doesn't have to do shit. He can just show up. And you're probably looking at, what do you think? There's a good question. GSP comes back. What do you think that card does pay-per-view buy-wise? Seeing he's been out of sport for
doesn't matter who
like
he fights
years.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Just no name, whoever is on the card.
$1,000,001.
I think you're right. I think it's over $1 million.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
Barely over $1 million. If it's a huge card, they easily could be one of the top yeah, five cards ever.
For
but,
sure.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, my gut says that maybe that's not true anymore. Maybe GSP is not a huge, huge draw like he was.
I think Canada brings him in.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the times that they fought out there. I don't even remember where they were. Was it Rogers Center? Somewhere where they had like 50,000?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or something, 55,000. They have a fucking hotel that overlooks the fights, so you're actually inside. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, who else can draw? I mean, now, obviously, Conor McGregor can draw
sure.
that, but back in the day.
That's what I'm saying. GSP, Conor McGregor.
I don't like that fight for some reason.
Like,
I just
it
don't
would blow
like
up
it.
The
what weight class do you do that at if you're doing that?
175.
175?
Yeah.
Then all I'm going to hear from Conor is, that man was 205 pounds. If it was a pound, I tell you. Like, all week.
That's
like, God damn it. Stop
like
it, Conor.
You do a good
he doesn't
Irish
weigh 205. He weighs like 150 if you've seen GSP these days. He's so
small,
thin.
Yeah.
You saw it as a motherfucker,
he's
even when
out.
You're not on.
That's right.
You know.
Maybe that's why he wants to fight at 155.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to cut all this lean muscle mass. No. I suggested that earlier. I won't do that to that man.
Oh, man.
And you know, the sad thing is BJ Penn would take that
fight. Of course he would. Why wouldn't he? He wants that money.
I think, you know, Josh Koscheck was saying to BJ Penn, he's like, why don't you come over to Bellator? They treat us veterans nicely over here. They don't feed us to the wolves. And, yeah, it just didn't quite work out. But I feel like he needs a better matchup. DJ Penn. Let's see what else is going on. So, Sage Northcutt made this Instagram post. It's a picture of himself, Tyron Woodley, and Dean Thomas. And
are they jerking off some dude or what?
Nah, it says, I be with a gang of gangs who hang and bang. Animals, orangutans, hammers move, bangers bang. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. He's 20 or something. He's just a young kid. I have no clue. What the fuck that even says. It's random words strung together that rhyme.
He's trying to be
good
Dr.
job.
Seuss.
Awesome, dude.
Is he trying to set up a fight against Tyron? He's a training partner.
Sounds very racist. Fucking, my orangutans.
It does sound semi-racist. The semi-racist.
In the picture.
And it's crazy good. Because all these pictures, Northcutt looks bigger than Woodley.
Yeah.
But he fights at 55. I think everyone should just move up. Do you have any other news? Or
No.
Okay. Let's keep going. Brandon Gibson, who's one of the trainers at Jackson Winklejohn, he tweeted this out. He said, I just got an email from the UFC saying that fight tape will no longer be available to coaches and fighters, and I need to use Fight Pass. So he said it's an issue for him to use Fight Pass because they don't have the slow motion and he can't dial it in. Like they used to, because I don't know what they sent out, if it was zip files or whatever, but he had
tapes.
The ability, like literally, we're going VHS. He said he could really tweak it, you know, back and forth to see. And you can't do that with Fight Pass. You can't get the same kind of shit he needs. But does the UFC need to send out fight tapes to trainers and or coaches when... You think about how the NFL does it. I'm sure they're sending out tapes to everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be a professional organization, like the UFC is always trying to say, we are like the NFL and Major League Baseball and blah, blah, blah. Should they be sending this out?
Well, I think they should. I think they have been. I wonder why they stopped. Monies?
Got to get that $79.99 Fight Pass dollars. We need more Fight Pass subscriptions.
That would cost per year, Matt?
Yeah. Maybe.
Some bullshit.
I remember. I'll recollect.
Is that a word?
It's in some movie. I think it's Will Ferrell.
Recollect, that's funny. I'm slap happy.
Anchorman type thing.
I feel like the Fight Pass could be a great resource as long as they could do what they need to do. Maybe they could tweak that, make it better.
Yes, and maybe this will further that discussion of giving the tweaks available. So, hey, here's what we're going to do. We hear your gripe, Tyron Woodley. Your promotion for UFC 209. We're going to do something about it. You're going to come to the Super Bowl. Then shut the fuck up.
He's everyone's racist.
They are. Everyone is. Mm-hmm. Especially GSP.
Probably.
So, I think that I'm okay with them shutting off the tapes, everybody, as long as you're providing something. I think they should pay for the subscription. I know it's not a huge thing, but show everybody a little bit of love.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just go cold-hearted bastard on everybody.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Because it's only going to go for so long. You can only push people so much before everyone turns. You're already on the edge of a revolt.
Yeah.
You don't need everybody to revolt. All right. So USADA says, just like that, there you go.
We're back.
USADA says... They tweeted this out. They said, interested in # clean sport? We're looking to hire 3 doping control officers around the country. Maybe we should get in there. This could be the drug test. Hey, are you taking any performance-enhancing drugs?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you HIV positive?
No.
That man's clean as a whistle!
How many fingers am I holding up?
17. You're good to go. Get in there, man.
You're good.
I like this. I think that's our calling.
passed.
Like, Mr. Griffiths, you can't do drug tests like this. I just did.
You want to have more fighters fight, right?
Like, so, if you're taking, would you like me to piss in this cup for you? You got any money?
What's
empty your pockets.
That's right. You're shaking everybody down. I saw the man piss.
And then you're pissed, and then you have, like, everything in your system. <You're>
like, sir, you just fucking failed for amphetamines, cocaine, for you had testosterone. Your estrogen level is also super high, which you're actually a woman right now.
That's right.
We found some horse semen.
Horse semen.
I don't know what you're doing.
That's not a banned substance.
It's not.
I don't think so, anyways.
Not yet, but I'm sure it will be, so. We're putting our names in the ring. USADA, we're there for you. I was debating to reply to that tweet, but I don't want them to block us on Twitter because a lot of shit they send out, I want to reply with some crass remark, but I would like to see what they're doing in the world.
Yeah.
Ask the Nuts. Are these big mega camps like Jackson Winklejohn, a.k.a. Alliance, etc., really that good for fighters? Or is being the product of a system actually watering down the fighters?
Ooh, I think this goes back to our earlier conversation of being closed-minded. I think some people tend to get stuck in their situation, and I think perhaps it's good in some ways and bad in others. But you have to remember too, how much freaking time do you think somebody? You got like a million fighters in your camp. How much exactly individual time are you getting?
There's a perfect example. Travis Brown was talking about his time at Jackson Winklejohn. He was saying he barely got any time with Jackson or Winklejohn. So he was always working with an assistant coach.
Okay.
But the caveat to all that is he got to train with John Jones. And he said he learned that front kick to the face that he knocked Alistair Overeem out with from John Jones.
Okay.
He was working on that with that. So I think from that standpoint that even though you don't have, you know, maybe you're not getting all the time with the top coaches, but you're getting all the time with the top training partners.
I see.
And you're learning from the other partners.
Yep.
You know, you don't want to have a predictable style. And I think when I look at John Jones, not that I'm saying he's gotten a predictable style, but he's definitely changed. You know, when you look at when he first came in, you know, he was just, I'd take you down and then I'm going to drop elbows on you. And he was super creative. And it seems like for him, he may have been getting watered down.
Yeah.
To the point now. But, you know, it's hard to say, is that training camp or is that outside influence?
Oh, they're just sex, drugs, and alcohol.
Right. And then powerlifting this and court that. And
I think he's still powerlifting too.
Yeah. I just saw someone post a picture with him with these two juiced up dudes. Like, get nutrition, get some. We're good. So, I think it's still good, but like you're saying, train everywhere. And I think that's what Travis Brown was doing too. And he had good success when he was at Jackson Winklejohn. It's just the life got sucked out of him from Edmund.
Yeah.
Is what it seems like.
He's the vampire.
Could be. If you could combine two fighters from the same weight class, who would be the greatest fighter ever?
Same weight class. Does it count if they fought in multiple weight classes?
I'll open it up. I mean, we can go specific first and then open. I'll start. I'll go Mark Hunt and Cain Velasquez, I like.
Okay. GSP and BJ Penn.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Combo. That would be ridiculous.
John Jones. That one's tough. It's like John and any. John's already fucking awesome. But I don't know if you do John Jones and Rumble Johnson or do you do John Jones and Daniel Cormier.
I like Cormier because of the mental. Well, maybe not.
Would he nullify the outside influence?
Yes, maybe.
That might be a better match.
He's a man of God. He will take care of shit.
But then give John Jones knockout power.
Yes. Whoa, scary.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey, Amanda Nunes. I like, here's the one I really like. Ronda Rousey and Tito Ortiz.
Jeez.
So when she loses, she can explain everything off like, my leg was fractured, my vertebrae, I do everything for the fans. You'll at least get a response out of the woman. She's not going to go into hiding for a year,
yeah.
Then come back and get her ass kicked again, and then go into hiding for another year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's what she likes to do.
Or you do like a Mighty Mouse, like someone on the lowest end of the spectrum mm-hmm. who has all the skills, and then someone on the heavy end. Like maybe a Mighty Mouse and a Derek Lewis.
There you go.
Give him like crazy power. No cardio, but the heart. It's all about the heart.
The heart, yes.
All right, move along. Prince Walton asks, why wouldn't Matt Mitrione take the dive for Fedor?
I don't know that it had anything to do with that. Kidney stone's a pretty serious thing.
It's the doctors.
Shit happens, man.
And I don't think he was diving. I think healthy Matt Mitrione beats Fedor 9 out of 10 times.
Maybe.
If Fedor decides to keep it standing like he did against Fabio Maldonado. What the hell is going on? You know what? If Fedor fights, we need fucking Russian Borat to commentate every one of them.
That's the best. Yes, absolutely.
His name is Fedor.
You should get the real
Fedor.
That guy plus Borat.
Holy
together.
Shit!
It'll melt the internet.
Maybe that's what the UFC is holding out for, Ingo. They're gonna get him. Oh, they just haven't got around to it yet.
No.
He's the replacement for Goldberg. And the rumor was Goldberg got signed by Bellator. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if we talked about
this,
it,
but okay,
would make sense. It's a smart move if they did. Gregor the Fountain asks, how many fights do you see GSP doing in the UFC?
Two.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Comeback fight, then a big money fight. Off to the sunset he goes.
I'm going, it's either or. It's one and done. It's either he does it, and like, shit, this is not working for me anymore. I don't know what accent I'm going with tonight.
Simon Mexican.
Simon Mexican.
Definitely not French-Canadian. But
I feel like he'll have that response. If it doesn't go well, he's going to just say, it's not good. I'm out. I'd rather look for dinosaurs again. I don't know whatever happened to that series.
Going to a dark place.
Or he's going to go in for the long haul because the money's going to be so good. They're just going to throw money at this
guy. Anderson Silva contract, 92 fights.
Yeah, and I feel like he's not going to do the Conor McGregor routine where, like, every fight you're going to need to pay me more and pay me. We're going to renegotiate every fight. He's just going to say, listen, here's where I need to be, and here's where we're going to go. So I'll go. It's either one or I think he's going to be in for four. And plus, now that you don't have Rory McDonald there, there's no potential for him to have to fight him.
Yeah.
And I just hope they play it smart and just do super fight kind of things with GSP. Don't make him fight for titles and nonsense. Make him fight fun things that the fans want to see. Mm-hmm. Brandon Mason asks, do you find it odd that GSP is willing to move down to 155 after all these years? USADA.
No, we talked about this earlier. He's shrinking.
The incredible shrinking man. Much like Johnny Hendricks, but he's...
And over him.
Moving up. Yeah, over him for sure. But it's these things happen in MMA. Mm-hmm. And Rodrigo Machado will close it out.
Yeah.
It's time. Pound sign, not the rule. Pound sign, Matt Rape Train. Pound sign, Ingo's sugar daddy. Would you rather live in a world where there were no problems or live in a world where you rule?
You rule! I want to rule.
Okay.
I think.
You can rule. I'll take no problems.
Nah. Well, those problems. I can't picture
a world
with no problems.
The challenge is if there's no problems, there's going to be no pleasure. You got to have the yin to your yang.
That's right.
And hopefully there's more yang to your yin. That makes sense.
Deep, man.
That's right. Would you rather find true love or $10 million?
Okay, I'm going to show my shallow self here, and I'm going to go ahead and say I'll take the money.
Goddamn right, because you can buy love or cookers and blow.
I don't know about that.
$10 million?
I'll take the money. There's plenty of people in the world. I'll find.
Trust me.
You will find someone you like a lot, okay?
And even if they like you for the money, whatever. Yeah. You're going to have a fucking good time.
That's right.
For 10 years or however long that money
true
lasts.
True love, like a lot, but I have $10 million.
And I could like a lot of women with $10 million. Right. Yes. I'm not settled down.
No.
As they say.
Correct.
Would you rather wake up naked and sore without any memory of the night before next to the Burger King telling you had it your way? Or wake up naked next to Ronald McDonald telling you that you were loving it.
I'll take it my way.
Whatever that means. Yeah, I think so. The Burger King. I'm with you. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Fuck, marry, kill. WWE Chocolate Edition.
Uh-oh.
We have Alicia Fox.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
We have Naomi. Apparently, we're just going by a first name.
No, I still. So far.
Especially... And Sasha Banks.
Oh, wow. I got to marry her, I think. Sasha Banks. The middle one's getting killed. Kilt, I say. And the first one, I mean, that's just...
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Alicia Fox.
Yes. We're going to go ahead and fuck her.
Okay. Well, I think I'm fucking Alicia Fox. I'm killing Sasha Banks, and I'm marrying Naomi.
Really?
I want to marry a chick with just one name and a big ass.
Like, her booty is huge.
Yes.
This is like...
I'm going to ride that.
She arrives,
like,
and then, like, 2 minutes later, her ass walks in the door. It's like...
This one?
It's like a whole other zip code. Yes, exactly. You're like, hello. You know?
I'm in for a good ride.
All right.
Move right along.
Yes.
Guy, knowledge.
I do. I was perusing the interwebs, and I saw a featherweight, Joe Harding, zigging and zagging in his fight in England over the week, and he thought he was going to win this fight, and he was doing well, and he got excited, and he was like, oh, hey, I'm going to showboat a little bit, and I'm going to hang out, and look at me go,
oh,
and he's dancing,
no.
Boom!
Oh.
And he gets kicked in the face, knocked out.
He got shut off like Terry Edom style, Nate Quarry style.
Word to the wise, do not break dance in the middle of an MMA fight. It's just not going to go well for you.
Oh, MVP.
It's not going to work. You know, and every time you see this kind of stuff, I don't know what the... We saw some of it tonight in the car.
Yeah, the fuck fight where we watched it. The little pie wave.
Yes.
Sam, Cecilia, and...
What's the guy's name? The guy's
was it Bradley? I don't remember who the other guy.
What is the motivation to do that shit? Because, you know, you... Why?
Like pointing at his gut. Yeah, I just kicked you there. I'm going to kick you there again.
Why?
I'm going to carry my hands here.
Why do that?
You know, and Travis Brown wasn't showboating, but I mean, everyone's carrying their hands so low and just relying on speed. Speed always isn't going to be there. Mm-mm. Same thing with that. The guy drops his hands and then he's like shucking, jiving, breakdancing. Maybe do that after you win.
Yes.
Maybe win the fight.
Mm-hmm. We like to have our cake and eat it too.
Yeah. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of this.
No.
Just win your fight. You want to celebrate afterwards, okay. Don't get too crazy.
Right.
Unless you're Conor McGregor and you want to run out into the crowd and then challenge Jose Aldo in front of his family.
Well,
that builds the fire for the next fight.
Mm-hmm.
Threatens a man.
Mm-hmm.
A man gets knocked out in 13 seconds. You know?
That's all he thinks about for 6 months.
Exactly.
Kicking
you
ass
just put it in his head like, bitch. I'm not afraid of you. I'm going to jump the cage, come out, and tell you to fuck off right in front of your wife and daughter. Mm-hmm. You like them apples.
Mm-hmm. You did not like those apples.
Not so much. still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Going to move up to 55 to go chase Conor McGregor.
Mm.
That's it. Shut down.
That's been this week's edition of MMA Nuts. I'm extremely sleepy.
Yes, it's all good.
Good night.
Thanks for playing.